It's been 10 years, hasn't it, the Bali Nine? There's been so many aspects of all of this. And if you go back to the very beginning, none of us could believe that they'd been so stupid, because stupidity is at the heart of all of this, at the height of the Chappelle Corby hysteria. These nine people were caught. As you'll recall, there has been this ongoing controversy over the role played by the Australian Federal Police. Lee Rush, the father of drug mule Scott Rush, tipped off the AFP about his son's upcoming drug run on the understanding his son would be prevented from leaving the country. Instead, the AFP allowed the Bali Nine to leave the country before tipping off the Indonesian authorities about what they're up to. The end result is that Andrew Chan and Meeran Sukumaran are now facing the death penalty. A lot of people were unhappy about the AFP's actions, given the likelihood that several members of the group could face the firing squad. The AFP has confirmed it still has the authority to provide information to foreign police agencies in cases carrying the death penalty, and it seems it would do so again. Interested in your thoughts on this. Robert Myers is a Brisbane lawyer and a friend of the Rush family. In fact, he made the call to the AFP on behalf of Lee Rush. He says the AFP has blood on its hands. He's on the line with us now. Mr. Myers, good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Myers, thanks for joining us. How much of the blame should the AFP sort of shoulder for this, the looming executions of Andrew Chan and Meeran Sukumaran?
Oh, my inclination is to say really the entirety of the blame. I heard your introduction and the fact that the AFP still suggests they might do the same thing today. Their guidelines were altered as a result of the case that we brought in the federal court in Darwin shortly after this commenced back in 2005-2006. And their guidelines are such now, on the recommendation of Justice Finn, that I think it's right to say they couldn't cooperate in similar circumstances today. The difficulty here is that it wasn't a question of cooperation. They knew here in Australia of the forthcoming crime that was about to be committed against Australia, let me say, not against Indonesia,
yep.
And quite deliberately, I think quite deliberately, sacrificed what were potentially the lives of nine young Australian kids in return. I know at the time we were concerned about intelligence for terrorism and the like, and they thought that that was, a reasonable price to pay for intelligence.
To get intelligence from Indonesia in return for their lives.
Absolutely. And people have said to me, oh, well, that's collateral damage. And I keep saying, the life of even one Australian can't be considered collateral damage in those circumstances.
But Robert, just one moment here. Don't Chan and Sukumaran deserve a large portion of the blame? Aren't they the ones who hatched this boneheaded plan in the first place?
Well, I wonder if they really hatched it. I think you'd call them lieutenants and you'd call the other people mules, but there was really something more sinister than that. There's somebody at the top of the chain, and that was the other thing about not letting these people come back to Australia and arresting them here. I mean, what's been done in other cases, as you know, is they watch the people coming back, they follow them, and we could have found something really quite big out of this had they proceeded properly and not been trying to curry favour with the Indonesian authorities.
So they could have allowed them to come back and then maybe nab the people who were further up the chain.
I would have thought so, and that's the more...
Who might be living in a comfortable house today, dropping their kids off at a private school.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, Sukumaran and Chan, although they're going to pay the price, I wouldn't have thought they were that far up there.
You were the one who actually tipped off the police in the first place on behalf of your friend Lee Rush. How do you feel knowing that call led to your friend's son being locked up in prison and the whole events that followed?
Well, I must say initially I was terribly concerned. As events transpired, and I mean the federal police lied to me on many, many occasions over some months, but when the matter actually came to court in Indonesia, it transpired that the police, that is to say the AFP, knew of the plot and they knew of the identities that were involved. Prior to my ringing and advising of our concern about Scott, the AFP had already written to the Indonesian authorities, tipping them off and giving the names and passport numbers and dates of birth of people, including Scott. So I was much relieved, I must say, after 2 or 3 months when at least I said to myself, well, it wasn't me that brought the whole thing undone.
What's your understanding of this? Was it authorised from the top, right at the top levels of the AFP?
No, I think it's right to say it wasn't. I know certainly at the time, as I understand it, Kelty was on leave, and so it wasn't certainly, as I understand it, it wasn't authorised by him. I can't say that it wasn't not too far down the chain, you know, number two or number three authorised it, but nobody has that authority in the AFP. It's quite clear that we can't cooperate on a request from a foreign nation if it involves if there's a possibility that Australia might lose its life. That is to say, it's a bit like extradition. We can't extradite if the price of extradition might be the execution of that person.
So you don't think this could happen again?
It can't happen. Well, I'm sorry, it can happen again because the Attorney General himself can authorise.
Yep.
You say it's a drastic thing, but if the AFP had thought so much of it, they could have gone to the Attorney General and he certainly had the power to authorise them to do it, but they didn't go anywhere near the Attorney General. I was with the Attorney General. I was given access to him within a week or two of the arrest. I went down and I saw Philip Ruddock at the time, and not that he conceded to me, he didn't give the authority. I said to him, "You would never have given the authority in these circumstances." And he looked at me with a wry look on his face and wouldn't answer the question.
Yep.
Didn't suggest that he had given authority, and he didn't, and they had no authority in those circumstances.
Can you give me your honest assessment of what would have happened, A, if they'd been arrested here before they went? What sort of penalty would have been imposed, because they hadn't actually done it at that point? And B, what sort of penalty they would have faced if they'd been arrested at Sydney Airport, having arrived back with the drugs?
Well, the penalty probably wouldn't have altered a lot, and obviously it'd be much more lenient here in Australia.
Yeah, it is much more lenient, but what would it have been, would you say? Because a lot of people would say, you know, that they were engaged in drug trafficking, so what would they have got here?
No doubt about it. Look, they would have got 3 or 4 years, I would think, and probably served half of that. I had a call from one of the barristers in Brisbane. There were about 20 people involved in this, or 20 or 30. And the police knew of them. Only 9, of course, had gone. The next 9 were waiting to go in the following week and that style of thing. After the whole thing broke and when the Bali 9 were arrested, the Queensland Police or the Australian Federal Police arrested the people in Australia who they knew were also involved. They were going to go and do it. And they were all charged and they were dealt with. And I had a call, as I say, from a barrister who appeared to the fellow who said, "Look, my bloke was really something in the nature of a ringleader, well above people like Sukumaran and Chan." And I think he told me that his man got 3 or 4 years. I'm going back 9 years, but
yep.
that's what would have happened. They would have been arrested here. They would have been charged with a conspiracy to commit a crime.
Mm.
The AFP had all of the information they needed. These fellows would have paid the price as we see the proper price to be paid. And there'd be no question of Chan and Sukumaran losing their lives.
Robert, before we go, isn't this issue also about the sovereign right of a nation to set its own laws, and that they knew full well what those penalties would be when they arrived in Indonesia?
Yes, you've certainly got to concede that. And that's why I don't criticise Indonesia. It's a shame that they've got the death penalty, but that's what they have. My criticism is the criticism of the AFP, who are charged with protecting us. I mean, we're safe today, you and I are safe, because we've got the AFP protecting us. One thing, if you're going to commit a crime, one thing you can rest assured of is that the police are going to try and protect you, and it's something that you weigh up, that if you're going to commit a crime and there are consequences of it. But one consequence that you won't take into consideration is that your own government is going to ship you off and allow you and expose you to the death penalty when they're not permitted to.
Mm. Right, Mr. Myers, thank you for your time. It does sound to me like you're looking at this resigned to them being executed.
Oh, I'm terribly concerned, and that's why I say I think the government has to do something and accept responsibility for the inappropriate actions of the AFP. We really beg Indonesia. We don't criticise them at all, and people say, look, that's pie in the sky, and it may well be, but I think it's the last chance for Chan and Sukumaran.
Okay. Mr. Myers, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Robert Myers there. He's a Brisbane lawyer, friend of Lee Rush, father of Scott Rush. What do you make of that?